How can I help you?
Yeah, let me get five wings with Mild Sauce.
What's going on, Chicago? Welcome back to another episode of Mild Sauce. So today we actually are talking about health. I think it's a great topic, especially for African Americans and people of color. And we brought some guests to the building today. So we have our friend Angel that's chiming in today, and then we got our girl Joy that's gonna be kicking it with us today on the show. So we all did a little homework, and we had to watch What the Health as a topic. So this entire, the majority of the show today is gonna be about health. We have some avid exerciseaholics. We have some past vegans.
Some healthy eaters.
We got some unhealthy eaters. We got a little bit of everything on the spectrum today. So
some Doritos.
And we got Doritos. So we're going to kick it off. So everybody's watched What the Health. Let's have an open discussion about it. How did y'all feel about it? We're going to start with you, Lamont.
I believe What the Health was an eye-opener, but it was kind of like everybody knew what it was. You know,
I don't
like,
think anybody knew though.
Everybody know that shit. It was caught off guard, but I was. Well, me dealing in the health field, I wasn't caught off guard to an extent.
Okay.
Far as even the vegetables you eat, even the fruit that you eat, everything is genetically modified in America. Everything. You could be a vegan, you could be a vegetarian, pescatarian, whatever the case may be, you're eating junk in America. Now, outside of America, you'll have more cleaner foods. But if you're not growing your own food, if you don't have a garden in your backyard, you're eating bullshit. Bullshit. So,
well, it wasn't new to me because I had already looked into Dr. Sebi, which pretty much promotes the same thing. You're eating plant-based diet will cure your ails. You know, diabetes, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, heart disease. Just eating right. What touched me the most from the movie was two parts. First, it was the milk stuff, because I just remember as a kid, I hated milk, but I always felt like I was supposed to drink milk because it was like advertised that way.
It
milk
does the body good.
It gives you strong bones. And you know, just to grow up and I experienced myself, who used to, you know, eat my cereal and all that, but then once I got older, now I gotta use that almond, you know, that almond milk.
You need honey nut checks, nigga. Stop playing.
It pretty much broke down how lactose in general is not good for you. And it broke down how milk from a cow is horrible for you compared to the natural milk of your mother when she births you. How that is supposed to be better for you. And it just explains how it's not good for your bones, even though we've always been taught that it's good for your bones. How it breaks down your stomach. And that's why so many people become lactose intolerant when they get older. It's because they've been drinking milk all their life and your body is not made for lactose. So that was one thing that stuck out to me. And then the other part was about how like the biggest, strongest animals are herbivores. Like gorillas, elephants, the largest, strongest animals.
Shit, dinosaurs for that matter.
Yeah.
Blue whales eat plankton.
Right. And they're not eating.
But gorillas, chimpanzees eat meat, bro. They rarely eat meat, but they gorillas do eat meat.
But it ain't the main.
No, but for the most part, for the most part, some of the largest animals on this planet
are
plant eaters.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, no, not some. The largest animal,
the largest, right,
on this planet was plant eaters.
As
a matter of fact, they just found a new dinosaur that is like the hugest of all the dinosaurs that we have discovered on this planet, and he was on a plant-based diet.
It could have been a sheep.
Yes, it could have been a sheep.
Okay.
Since you kicked it off, tell us how what you
womanist.
I thought it wasn't reinventing the wheel. I think that what I liked about it that it was brought to light was the fact of how a lot of the cancer organizations, all these orgs that you think are, you know, here to help keep us healthy, they actually aren't, because they're being backed by the very companies that are selling us Whoppers and McChicken,
USDA,
right, and everything else. So it's like a sick and twisted, you know, cycle, but it's almost like in the space of like, what do you want me to eat? Air? Like, there's nothing left at this point. I saw something, even when I was vegan, I saw a woman that was trying to like put cabbage on an open flame. and it wasn't burning. It was like plastic. You know how the plastic, when you go to moving on, right. It's like they keep the...
It was melting.
It was stretching like plastic. And I'm like, do you know how many times my mom has cooked me like cabbage and bacon? Or just like... Right. So it was kind of scary in the sense of like, what do you do when everybody controls, you know, when you are powerless? All I can do is go to a store and get my
go to the grocery store.
Right.
Kind of to touch on what Joy said, like, I wasn't surprised at some of the stuff that I saw because I do watch a lot of documentaries, but the fact that, like, a lot of the places were being sponsored by all the stuff that they said is causing cancer, that's causing diabetes. Also, another part that I thought was kind of weird because, like, I mean, I know most people don't eat pork. I don't know about y'all, but, like, I like my bacon. Mm-hmm. So, the part where... They show like the guy in the field. They had like a heap of the dead.
Oh
my god, that was ridiculous.
You know, like grind them up and then feed them back to the live pigs. It was like it kind of made me rethink some things.
Not to cut you off,
isn't that how mad cow disease started?
Yes,
but they said mad cow isn't a new thing.
It's not.
But going back to the pork thing, because I'm an advocate for the bacon. I love bacon. And then the Tennessee pride. Do y'all eat that when y'all go down south? Well, okay. Tennessee pride is amazing, but when they show me the amount of shit that these pigs produce, and then it's refed
to them, right?
And then what's not refed is put in the sewer,
and it's fertilizing the land that they fucking.
Oh my god, that is ridiculous!
It was so eye-opening, man.
The pus when the pus coming out of the animal, yes. I was like, man.
Not only that, it just even get deeper than that though, because those fields where they doing all this stuff is only in the black communities.
Black and Latino. Course.
And one of the young ladies on there was saying that how most of the people in that area have asthma, cancer. Mm-hmm. You know, all of her relative was basically buried on that land and that died from one of those symptoms. You know what I'm saying? Either diabetes or cancer. That shit was fucked up. I'm like, damn.
And it's real unfortunate. It makes, and I know everybody's like, oh, they're always playing the race card. But when you look at how this stuff is structured, how it's set up, it seems a little.
And America is great. But then we get mad at the Chinese for eating dogs and cats and shit.
I want everybody, like, real talk, I want everybody to go to like the whitest neighborhood and go to their grocery store and look how clean the fucking meat is.
Well, you know what? Touching on that, when I first got my own apartment, and you know, I love the Jewels on Roosevelt, but I'm not a fan of Jewels at all. But just that one in particular, I went to that Jewels on Roosevelt, and I'm like, man, I got the spices and I got, you know, my meats and stuff. But I couldn't make it to that one, whatever. I was visiting my mom, so I decided to go to the Jewels on 87. And I thought I was going to get the same thing.
Damn right.
But that's advertising being played into that. Like, case in point, you're going to see if you go to a Jewels that's in a predominantly, like, Latino community, you're going to see a lot more
Goya's,
adobo season, masa, you know, things that are catering to that specific culture. And that's the reason why sometimes when it's like, I guess what you call yuppie black people, when we go, you know, to Mariano's, and I'm like, oh my god, we have a quinoa bar now? You know, and it's like your cousins are walking past like, quinoa?
Right.
Go
get that Uncle Ben.
Exactly. Like,
I was just talking about strictly meat because it's crazy. Like, I live on like close to 95th Street Jewels, and I went to go look at that meat. That shit was fucking brown, bro. It was brown. The ground beef, the chicken was like,
been sitting out for
was fat as fuck, like they put extra water in it or extra sodium in it. So I went to Orland, pure white, pink, like it was like the pinkest, like the reddest beef. It was like grass fed, it promoted all this shit.
But you
when
know
we
why?
Go in the hood, it's like the tainted meat. Shit was fucked up. I was like, this shit
crazy. But I see what you're saying,
if
but,
you don't live in a food desk.
But I understand what you're saying, but according to the documentary, it doesn't matter whether the meat is clean or not.
True.
It's not healthy for us, period. The meat is not good for, it's not designed for our body. Our body is not designed to break that stuff down.
And I loved how they showed the intestines.
Exactly.
On how a real omnivore, how their intestines are set up and how ours is. And you're right, we're not set up to digest
that meat. And we're not. And it goes back to the reference that he made with Dr. Sabi. Dr. Sabi preaches the same thing. We supposed to have been on a plant-based diet.
That's why you ain't know about
and it. And it's really just that simple. And it's not ironic that even the animals that was here before humans was here, well, actually they said man and dinosaurs lived amongst each other. But it's not ironic that their diet consists of a plant-based diet. And they lived a very long fucking time. And they was healthy.
But they ate meat too, though. But they eat
it
meat.
It was only the certain ones that was meat eaters. But 80% of the dinosaurs ate plants. That's why.
I'm talking about human beings.
That's why I was about to say. That's why it was possible for humans to coexist with dinosaurs back then. Because they didn't eat meat like that.
Right. Especially in the Ice Age time. Oh, my bad. Especially in the Ice Age. A lot of human beings back then, they needed like fat and lard to put on, like animal fat and lard to put on in their bodies so they could cope with the winter, the long droughts and like the food shortages in the wintertime or in the Ice Age period. So they did eat meat, but it wasn't how we consume meat right now. It wasn't our main diet.
We don't eat a meal without meat as the entree.
Well, I mean, I can't speak about like the lamb before time, but.
I love it.
What I thought was like really interesting was when he kept trying, I forgot the young man who actually did the What the Help documentary, but when he kept trying to reach out to do the interviews, and then once they realized like, oh wait, he wants to talk about, you know, why meat isn't on your list of like the most cancerous causing items. I don't think cancer goes back to Egyptians, like even before Egyptian times. It is like literally the world's oldest malady. So to have something that is caused by like health, or that is exacerbated, I should say, but like things that we can eat possibly, I just found that was really interesting. We're talking about cigarettes, but I'm like, a hot dog will take you out the game now faster than a pack of Pall Mall.
Yeah, that's true.
And that to me was just the thing of like, you know how many barbecues I have been to this summer, and people was not
you need some raw work.
Not only that, but to piggyback what she was saying, you know how many people that claim that, oh, I'm not a smoker, but you eat a fucking hamburger and it does the same thing.
So it's like, how do you balance it? Because
it does the same thing.
I think, you know, and especially when I look at our culture, we can make all the jokes we want about soul food, but what I liked, food is tied into joy. It's tied into people coming together and sharing and breaking bread with one another. It's tied into fundamental. Literally, it's tied into our existence. If I don't eat, I'm gonna fucking die. So
if I don't eat, I'm not a nice person.
Y'all hangry.
Right, but even as human beings, you starve a person, they will waste away. So it's just like, what do you do when you're still trying?
You're not here. Don't you give him the finger.
Okay. So it's like, what do you do when you want to still enjoy life, you know, but then it's like at the same time, like, I'm not about to sit here and eat like earth and tree bark, you know, trying to keep myself
trying to live here.
Like, what do I do? Just so Trump or Cheeto Crunchy Crunch can blow us up.
Well, here's the thing. When you say, what do? I think what you, in a sense like that, and you as knowledgeable on the shit that we do consume right now and what it does, you have to retrain your mind to go back to that old way of living. Like, you can't, when you know better, you're supposed to do better.
What old way of living?
Because
they've been giving us chicken like, since we were
no, but back then, they didn't eat a lot of meat. We didn't consume a lot of meat. We ate a lot of plant-based food. You know what I'm saying? That's why they lived a lot longer. Actually, we didn't start dying until we started eating meat and fish and all that shit. That's when our life expectancy actually started decreasing, so opposed to living longer.
Even like with the plant-based food and stuff, like now you got all the pesticides and all the stuff they put
in. And that's true. So it's like there's no, it's not a win-win situation, but I think that it will be less harmful to eat plant-based food more so than eating some damn meat.
I disagree, and the reason why I disagree is because I want you to take an apple and put boiling hot fucking water on that shit and look at all that wax and chemicals in the fucking spill out in the fucking sink. Also, I want anybody to go on Google, YouTube, whatever help site y'all go on, and just type in oxycontin in vegetables. They shoot Oxycontin in your vegetables to plump it up to make it grow faster. And they spray polyurethane to put the shine on your fruits and vegetables. So when you see it at the grocery store, just look at that shit.
Okay, so that goes back to her question then. What do you eat? What do you do?
You can't. We are the guinea pigs in America.
I'm just going to
in America, because there's no GMOs in Europe because they banned GMOs in Europe. Yeah. They banned GMOs across a lot of, like, I think about 60 countries. We the only fucking country that had GMOs. We the guinea pigs for the whole world to see who going to die, who going to live longer.
So we talked about a lot of different things now. You just showed some light, right, onto eating a plant-based diet and some of the bad parts about it. Jay, you were talking about how we probably should go back to it. And Joy, you were talking about, you know, how our ancestors and how, pretty much how we were raised. What I loved about it too is because I thought I was doing a good thing eating, you know, chicken and turkey opposed to beef and pork. Even though, you know, I partook in the bacon and, you know, the ribs every now and then. I thought even the chicken was good, but come to find out,
it's almost just as worse as the damn beef.
So if that's what it is, and, you know, you got all this stuff going on with our plant-based diets, what are some other alternatives that I know we were talking offset and you were talking about growing our own food, but who's really going to do that?
No, it's not even who's going to do that. It's the fact that you don't even know that the soil that you're growing it on is even so it's like, what's the soil first be? You can grow it on there, but it's still the same.
How bad is it, Jay? How bad is it?
Who knows? You know what I'm saying? You have to even make sure that the soil even on there is healthy enough for you to even grow your own food on there.
So, I got a question for y'all. Since y'all are more healthier than me, we can't be concerned about the soil one day. I'm sorry. But what would y'all, the healthier two, mainly since I'm a man, I'm going to ask Kelly and Jay, what do you recommend just to, as far as a diet for the man that's 30 and up?
What I would recommend is that you eat less food. The less food you consume it, the less toxic that your body is being exposed to.
You mean by portions?
Yeah, like the less period. Like if you know you're gonna consume meat, you know you're still gonna consume it because you just can't get away from the shit, you're addicted to it, whatever. My thing is eat less of it. I mean, even if you can't wean yourself off of it, eat less of it. It's less toxic going into your body. And you have to work out more. You know what I'm saying? If you working out more and you drinking more water, you can almost counteract the bullshit that's in there. The more water you're drinking, it's going to release most of the toxins out your body anyhow. And if you're being active, you really don't have to worry about all the other negative shit that's put into the food because you're being active. So it's kind of almost like you're counteracting it, but not. But you're not at the same time, but you are. You see what I'm saying?
I don't totally agree with what Jay was saying because, like, that's like saying, oh, don't shoot up a lot of heroin. Just a little heroin.
That's all you need. It's a little taste, bro. You don't need a little taste of the heroin, bro.
But here's what I'm saying. You will live a lot longer if you consume less.
Food is heroin.
You know, and it is.
It releases endorphins.
Exactly. And like she said,
when a woman's having heartbreak, you don't see her eating.
No, she eat fucking ice cream and chocolate. Right. So that goes back to my point. If you eat less of it, you're not getting as much chemical. It's just like a motherfucker who do a lot of drugs. What happens? He overdose. He die. So Dr. if he did Jesus less died, of it, his ass would still be here to do it a lot longer. So that goes back to my point.
So you give me a responsible crack.
Right.
So you could don't drug use.
I'm just saying.
You could don't drug use there?
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, since we know that our food is poison, I think that, and there's nothing we can do about it. We all just proclaim that we can't. There's nothing we can do about it, right? So eat less of this shit. That way you don't have to eat that much when you're going to die soon. Would you rather die sooner or later?
So you're saying...
Either way you go, you're going to go from this shit.
So instead of doing two lines, do one line of coke.
You're damn right. You're damn right. Don't that make sense to you?
Yeah,
just,
right?
Just a bump. Then. You only have to do a whole line.
That's right. Just a
take. That's just a take. And I mean,
so what type of diet?
And we all know that anything that's done in moderation is not bad for you. So you have to keep a balance with this shit. So even when it comes to carbs, protein, all of this different stuff, you have to have balance.
Angel, I heard before the show started that you work out every morning. And I tried to arm wrestle with y'all, but she was scared. From a female's perspective, what's your outtake on you know, the diet and working out? Like, how has it done? What has it done for you? How has it changed your life?
Well, it definitely gave me a lot more endurance and a lot more energy because I was really sluggish. And the whole reason I started working out, it was not for like a particular goal, but well, maybe it was because I have a goal to stay under a certain amount of weight.
Sexy girl,
like, you know. Because I'm short and I'm like, if I gain too much, it's not gonna look right. Right. So yeah. I always
the short nigga, he complies.
Stay under a certain amount of weight because I don't carry it well. Uh-huh. So it was better when I had like I used to just go to the gym by myself because my workout partners just kind of fell off. But like now I have so I have a consistent one now, and what we started doing was like working out for her because she was. Like, you know, getting married and she had, you know, trying to fit in her dress or whatever. But
did
like,
did she make it?
She made it. She was great.
Hey, who you make it?
But like, you know, even it stemmed from there till now, like she married the wit and we still go to the gym consistently because it's like, okay, well, why stop doing it now? Like, we're getting older. Mm-hmm. We still need to be healthy. Like, there's a lot of overweight people in my family. I'm not trying to go that route.
That's one of my
Was the diet and exercising?
Yeah.
Still don't eat like the way I should, but what I have started doing is more portion control, but like flipping the food pyramid. So more vegetables instead of whatever was on the top of
right.
it. So more vegetables, less carbs, like less sugars. Like a small little piece of meat.
Right.
And then if I'm still hungry, I'm gonna go back for more vegetables opposed to like the starch.
See, she's going back to my point exactly. Yeah. It's eat less of the food that you know you can't get away from it. There's no way of getting around it. So you wanna eat less of that.
Get a four wing instead of a six wing.
That's exactly. I'm just and you being funny, but it's the truth. It's the truth of the matter. You just have to eat less of it, man. And that's the only way because they pretty.
So how often y'all work out? The exercise and focus.
I know for me, I work out at least 4 or 5 days a week.
No, you work out 7 days a week.
Hour, hour.
Yeah, not that long.
Anything more than an hour, I think, is overkill.
I mean, that's depending on the person.
The person, right?
It depends on the person. If you're lazy, then yeah, you know.
I no less than 4 times a week, no less. So, can we ask you how old you are? Are you cool with that?
Yeah, sure. 31.
Okay, so would you recommend working out to younger women or women of your age that think like, oh, well, you just need to accept me for who I am and this is how my body is, this is how I was made.
For the BGCs, the BGCs all across the world.
I'm all for love to stand you in and all of that stuff, but like at the end of the day, you gotta worry about your health. Like, you wasn't born 200 pounds.
Right, because I think those phrases that I just said allow people to use it as an excuse and be like, well, this is how I'm going to be, take it or leave it. And I think it makes them comfortable with being unhealthy.
So do you think, this just came to me, this wasn't even in the list, but I got a question for y'all right here. Do you think having a partner is a part of the problem?
Yes.
It all depends, though.
Because, you know, you get comfortable. Listen, they love you how you are.
That boyfriend, girlfriend,
some girls. You know, but see, then it comes down to an individual thing. Regardless of how your partner is going to accept you. Do you want to be healthy? It comes down to that. Do you want to be healthy or not?
But what if we like to eat?
Y'all can like to eat.
I mean, you should like to work out as much as you like to eat. Let's put it like that.
Is that being realistic,
though? Yes, it is.
That's not being realistic.
Yes, it is.
But if you're in love, fuck that.
Man, I know people that'll drink all night and get up in the fucking morning and go running.
But are they in a relationship?
That's why I said it comes down to an individual thing. Do you want to be healthy or not? It's real simple. I don't give a fuck how much you love my fat. It's about my own health.
You thinking about that?
It's some women. prefer their guys to be big guys, real big.
So
is that healthy? No, it's not healthy.
So
y'all like big niggas?
You like big niggas?
Do y'all like big niggas? You just asked me.
He's fat niggas. You like fat niggas with beards.
Rick Ross looking
with beards.
Do y'all like them? They had a moment. Big niggas was in for a minute.
Rick Ross had a moment.
I'm a small person.
I don't want no man whose breasts are bigger than mine.
Who's sucking? Who's
sucking? I'm not. I'm also a realist. I think it's unfair to have expectations on somebody that I don't have for myself. Like, or that I'm not necessarily at. Like, I'm not gonna be like, oh, he gotta have a six pack. Do I have a six pack? No, I don't even have one pack. So I think that's rude to say. But I like someone who is health conscious and at least like.
They try.
Is at least trying. That right. to me is doable and commendable. I'm not gonna be with nobody who's just black, fat, and happy and just right. Right. That shit ain't right. happening.
So let's say you meet a guy and y'all kicking it, y'all having a good time, you get in a relationship, and he's this way now. Then he loses himself. Mm-hmm. Is it your responsibility to
bring
say
him back in?
Right, to be like, hey babe, you get a little thick around
here. See, I think that you have to know your mate. Like, some people can deal with that negative reinforcement. Some people will take, then get very defensive about that. I think also, as a woman and as a support system, if I'm your rib, like, I'm not going to let you sit there and eat all them bitches. So I'm just like,
200 pounds,
thank you. Down.
Right, but it's also the way in which I'm doing it. Like, because a lot of times I can't speak for all men, but a lot of times, or maybe it's not even a man thing, but just people in general, when you're going through something, like,
stress.
It's stress eating. So it's like,
real.
So you can, if I see my man, like, he's stress eating, or it's just like, I should be in tune with him in terms of what's happening, period, to get to the underlying reason why he over here, like, just knocking back all this food. So I think that's, and that to me just is like, that
mental
I feel
health
is my, that to me I feel is my responsibility, but I'm not gonna come out and like be like, well, when I met you, you was sexy and we was going to Reverie and popping. No, Reverie is trash, but I'm saying like,
and Reverie be
cracking. I'm not gonna, you know, sit there and be like, well, when I met you, you was sexy and we was looking like Jay and Beyonce on a budget, and now, you know, you're just out here just looking a mess. I think it's my responsibility.
You gotta leave that person alone.
You said,
damn,
what? If that person gets big and fat, y'all leave him alone.
You don't leave him.
I mean, no, if that's the depth of your love, then I'm like, that's
no,
you.
On some real shit. If a person get too big and you tell them they're getting too big and they not trying to fix that shit, you gotta leave them alone.
It's not mad at,
well, that's different if you're
letting
them know how you feel and you don't see no improvement in
time. That's what we just said, though.
So what happens if this person's getting bigger now because it's a health issue? Because if you can't deal with that in a relationship, like case in point, if you marry that person, it's for better or worse. When my parents got together, my mom was a Coke bottle and my daddy had his shit together. My daddy's currently dying. My mom's now his health care provider, you know, and literally his caretaker. So I think if you start off with that mentality, I'm like,
for better or for worse,
I'm like, then it's gonna carry.
See, that's
over.
A health issue, like a gland issue or certain things that's going on health wise. That's different.
What if that happens to your girlfriend?
Oh shit, I gotta stick with her.
So then that mentality.
That's a health issue though. No, what's a health issue though? If it's a legitimate health issue,
what
I'm talking about, if I'm getting too fat or she getting too big. That person don't want to do better for themselves. Leave that person alone if you're trying to do better. That's all I'm saying.
So what if it ain't big? What if it's the doctor told you your blood pressure high, but you still ain't changed your diet?
That ain't shit.
That is shit.
That is
my
shit.
My grandma's
heart attack.
From a blood
right, that's
aneurysm.
Huge.
That's aneurysm. Yeah. That's the
because
stroke.
That's neglect. That's them not caring about themselves.
Exactly.
That's them not caring about the person that they're with. The family, it's
when you get older. No, when you get older, your organs not deteriorate, but it shuts down a little bit. Because when you get older, your blood pressure is supposed to rise. The World Health Organization, it's the World Health Organization.
40, nigga.
150 over 90 is the fucking norm. 150 over 90 is the fucking norm, but in America, they say 120 over 80. You see what I'm saying? So they try to push a pharmaceutical agenda on people to be on high blood pressure medication. But 150 over 90 is perfectly fine. I know patients that have blood pressure at 180 over 101.
That's too high.
But guess what, though? They in their fucking 80s, and they live in life.
I mean,
they still alive. And guess what? The people in their 50s and shit like that, with blood pressure 180 over 101, they put up and die.
I'm 29, and speaking for somebody who experienced this, my blood pressure high at 29. And when
what's
I
your blood pressure? Don't mind me asking.
When I recently, it was better, but it's still high. But when I first found out, it was 190 over something, and I'm 29. I just recently found out, and it was 170 something over something. So it was still high, and I'm 29. And so I get what you're saying about old and, you know, they done live their life. But as a 29, 30-year-old person, you shouldn't have high blood pressure.
True.
And it's not just from stress. That's when we get back to what are we eating? What can we do to be healthier?
Right.
I have an 8-year-old son who I need to get my shit together because I don't want to be 40
right.
and have a random ass heart attack or stroke
right.
because I didn't want to eat some more lettuce.
It's not about eating, but it's about exercising.
Though. But I was just about to say that goes back to what I was saying. Eat less and work out more. And the only way to get salt out of your body is through sweat. The only way you can really sweat is if you're doing high intensity movement, which is
working out.
You know, stuff like that. So that's the only way to get your blood pressure to get lower, to get that sodium out of your system, is through sweat.
Well, thankfully, it's going down.
And a lot of people don't understand that, because when we was younger, we can consume shit that has salt in it all day, like potato chips, just high in sodium like a motherfucker. But when you was a kid, you ate 4 or 5 bags of chips and throughout the day. But guess what? You was running your ass off, wasn't you? You was being active. So you was sweating it out. But as you get older, your activity level starts to change because now you got responsibilities. Now you bombarded with this. You bombarded with that. So you're not working out as much. You're not burning as much calories. You're not getting your body to that level where it's sweating. You know what I'm saying? So now you keeping it in salt. That's strickening your arteries, man. It's fucking you up. And that's why you end up with high blood pressure then. And all down the line, you have a heart attack.
While we were having this last discussion, I heard mental health mentioned quite a few times. And I know when we were talking, we were discussing about the topics. Our producer wanted to chime in as well, talking about mental health. So we're going to pass it to Jazz for a second, y'all. She feels real passionate about this and she wants to talk about this topic.
Yeah, well, when we talk about mental health, I immediately go to therapy and how that is in our community, how people don't really believe in going to therapy and, you know, they don't feel like it's worthy. Have any of you all ever participated in therapy at all?
Mm-hmm. I have.
Once. You have?
I have a therapist.
You do?
Yes.
Once. I have them, but I'm not opposed to it.
Was it voluntarily or were you forced to go?
I was forced to go.
You were?
I was forced to go in the sense it was, yeah, I was forced to go. Put it like
well,
that.
Hold on. Why were you forced to go?
I was forced to go because I had a condition. I was diagnosed.
In high school, I was diagnosed with astrocytoma. That's like star-like tumors on your brainstem. But it wasn't cancerous. It was benign. But it was causing a lot of friction into like in my nerves. So I used to burst out of like get angry or not talk to people or just get mad.
Okay.
So they trying to diagnose me with bipolarism. But they didn't though. You know what I'm saying? So they gave me a lot of brain scans and MRIs, CT scans. And to the point I just went to a therapist. You know what I'm saying? They said it's benign tumors. It's everything going to be good. They gave me medication for it. Shrunk the tumors down. But the crazy part about it is when I was doing these outbursts, I don't know why I was doing the outbursts. I was just being angry for no reason.
So you was acting just like one of them motherfuckers with Tourette's, huh? What is that? What?
Hell yeah. Pretty much. Like, no, like, fuck especially you. No, especially in like relationships. Like,
fuck you then.
No, it's a real shit. Like, in relationships, like, when I used to deal with heartbreak, I used to get real mad and I used to call people like 10 times, 20 times, like, fuck you and you don't love me and this, that, whatever. It wasn't about me being heartbroken. It was like I really had a condition going on, and to the point I wanted to commit suicide because I was suffering from like severe migraines.
So you said you were forced though. So did you?
So my parents were like, you had to get help.
So you
but
said
did you,
you
feel like there was.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry.
No.
Did you feel like there was nothing wrong with you? Like that was normal.
I didn't think nothing of it.
Okay.
That was the problem.
Okay.
I thought it was, I didn't say it was normal.
You just think that that's just how you are.
That's how I was.
That's what black people
do. I thought I was a crazy motherfucker until the point I went to go see, sat down, and saw a psychiatrist. Not a psychiatrist. They wanted to put me on medication. I said, I'm not taking no medication. So they said, go see a psychologist and let's see what's going on. And the deep root of it was because of my severe migraines I was having. That was cause of my imbalance in like my head and shit.
So, wow.
So a few of you all said that you went like you were forced to go to therapy. You mentioned you were forced and then you went back later voluntarily to go to therapy, right?
Yeah.
Could you tell a difference when you went back the second time, and do you feel like you got something from it?
Nah, when I went back the second time, I'm still emotional though. I don't know, fuck. I'm light skinned. But
I'm glad you
that's hereditary. All light skinned niggas are emotional. But now when I went back the second time, they talked to me like I was a human being instead of a patient, like a mutant or some shit like that. Like what I mean by that was when I first went, they was like, "You doing this wrong, you doing this, you doing that, you just stop doing this, stop doing that." But when I went back the second time, they were having like full blown conversations. Like, how are you doing today?
You were able to receive.
I was ready to see the information instead of.
They had to use psychology on your ass to get a lot of shit up out of you.
Hell basically. Yeah, I was crazy as hell, bro.
You mentioned about going to see a psychiatrist.
Well, I have to go through counseling, not necessarily a therapist. We haven't decided who we're gonna see.
Oh, that's for marriage?
Right.
That's real.
That's real. I'm dealing with somebody else. And not just
because we're talking about health, though.
Relationships.
He just got to talking about how he would get overly emotional.
Relationship. All that stuff plays a part on y'all.
Okay. Get back. All y'all.
For those who don't know, so Q is engaged, so he's getting married soon. So what he's saying is that he's in counseling.
I'm gonna pay the $50 this.
Oh my god!
I'm gonna pay $50 too. So stop fucking telling you.
I'm glad that shit on recording. So when I'm at my wedding and these two jabronis ain't there.
But you say you're in counseling, like marriage counseling, right now.
We're gonna be. We haven't chose a therapist yet. We haven't decided if we want to do
counselor.
More of a religious based counseling. Or do we want to do just a therapist type counseling? Because if anybody take marriage seriously, they understand that it ain't just about I love you and you love me. And when you've been in a relationship for a long time, you definitely understand that dealing with another person, it's always going to be conflict. And so, you know, we torn between the spiritual, churchy type counseling opposed to like what he got, a psychologist, somebody who's trained in that profession to really, you know, do that type of therapy opposed to the spiritual based. But it's something that we will embark on, and I'm not nervous about it per se because I've never really had therapy or been to a therapy session. I probably need to because we've all been through stuff in our life.
Is it sex therapy?
No, I don't need none of that. We good there.
How you doing?
With your chest.
No hip movement.
No hip movement, just chest.
So pausing real quick on you, we're gonna make our way over here. So with marriage, why do you think a lot of black people are against it?
Against marriage?
Well, that's another topic.
We
meant counseling.
Oh, against counseling.
Yeah.
I think black people in general have a very horrible problem. Mm-hmm. Of other people not being able to tell them shit.
Because we love to say, you can't tell me what to do.
We've gotten to a point where, don't tell my kids what to do. Oh. You can't tell me what to do. You
I
can't
think tell it's me more so because most therapists are Caucasian. We don't want the motherfuckers in our business.
Sometimes we don't
trust
people.
That's what it is.
We have black therapists.
We got trust issues. We have opening up issues. And I think especially black men, part of what's going on, and I hate it to this day, and this is a very vast topic, so we would definitely have to talk about this another time. But shaming. We shame each other so much for everything. We shame each other for being crazy. We shame each other for being loud. We shame women for having strength to be independent. We shame gay people. We shame. Right. We shame everybody over everything. We make a joke about everything. And mental illness is a real problem amongst our people. And I guarantee, as adults now, I bet everybody in this room could think about somebody through grammar school, through high school, that we knew probably had a mental problem. Okay. Like, just based on their behavior as a child.
Me personally, I think everybody's bipolar.
No, I don't agree with that.
Everybody's bipolar.
But I'm sure we all know
everybody be bipolar. Happy sometimes, all of a sudden you fucking snap.
But that doesn't make you bipolar,
yeah,
though.
I don't think that's bipolar.
That's bipolar to me.
No, that's just, nigga, your mood swing just changed. I ain't feeling so
happy. That could be a personality disorder.
I'm not feeling the dynamics in this room right now, so goddamn it, I'm mad.
Like Brandon
Marsh. That don't have nothing to do with being bipolar.
He has a personality disorder.
So, I know you were saying, Angel, that you're not opposed to it, but...
No, I've never been to counseling or a therapist, but I feel like everybody needs somebody to talk to. Like, even if you don't admit it, like, your friends are kind of your therapist.
What about your friends?
Right, you ain't really paying them, but everybody needs somebody to talk to. You might need somebody that can help you analyze your situation and problems better than your peers, but like, I wouldn't be opposed to counseling at all or therapy.
Jay, what's up with you, man? Have you ever been to counseling or seen a therapist or anything
like that? I've had, but it was like relationship type shit.
So like cute, okay.
Yeah, it was, you know. I guess, you know, I was a womanizer, you know what I'm saying? So it's
you
like,
was, or
are you still out of womanizer?
I said I was, that's past tense.
You still was.
So the counseling worked. You got a testimony. Let this nigga preach.
It worked. So, like I said, I'm with it.
Okay.
Because that was the first time in my life where I was totally open to being honest with a stranger about my addiction, like for real.
Can you talk about that? Because I think in our community, I think it's promoted that we be womanizers.
Yeah.
And depending on who you ask, you know, some say that monogamy is a Western thing. It's not really realistic. Some people believe in monogamy. So you were a womanizer, you're not anymore. How did your therapist help you overcome that?
In a sense, like when you in a relationship, and it goes back to what Q was saying, I'm piggyback what he was saying, it's more than I love you or she love you type shit. And it comes with, man, you have to love even their flaws about that person. You know what I'm saying? You have to love everything about their core. And and with that comes with not being selfish. Mm-hmm. So, and I had to learn not to be so selfish because that was my thing, man. It was like, shit, I want it, I'ma get it. It's regardless of who I might hurt in the process.
And I think our music really messes that
up. It does.
Like, Mr. Steal Your Girl and, you know,
right, all that
shit like that, it kind of poisons us to like, this is acceptable and y'all don't make it no better because y'all be saying,
or what it is, what? Shit, we could be going back to how,
it's a
I think it stems from our ancestors, shit, we used to having more than one woman, so I think it's only to say that man should be with one woman. In America, that's acceptable, but like you said, in other parts of the world, it's condonable for a man to have more than one woman. And I just find it ironic that most men have a desire to be with more than one woman, no matter how much love he has for one woman. Like, I can love this woman right here, like with my whole core, my whole being.
But
at the same time, it can be a woman that come here just as attractive. Body just is better, and I can be like and have that same desire that I have love for her, and to want to be with her. I can have that same desire, like, damn, I want her.
I love how in,
it can be as passionate as it is as
love,
I have.
Or is it lust?
That's lust, baby.
But it's lust. That's what I'm saying.
It can, I ain't gonna lie. I don't know if I said this on like a couple episodes ago. Hmm. I was on some fuck shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is like not mental. You could put this in a mental illness segment. We say all black women crazy, right? But what I'm saying by that is my perspective on what I used to, how I treat black women, I used to make them feel like they the only woman. They saw my parents. Mm. They came with my family. We took them out. We kicked it. Hey. I spent all the time with them. Met their parents and stuff like that. But then when it come down to when they say, so what are we? When a woman told me back in the day, what are we? I said, we just cool. We know what it is. We just cool. I never gave them that closure of, yes, we together. Or, no, I don't want to fuck with you like that. Mm-hmm. And that was my mistake.
Why wouldn't you do that?
I don't know.
Mental problem, boy.
It's not even mental.
He said it wasn't mental.
It wasn't mental at that point. It was just the fact of...
You know you wanted other stuff, too.
It wasn't that. It was... I don't know. It's like... I was wrong. I was honestly wrong.
You knew. You just...
Honestly, I was wrong. In our DNA.
I was just wrong for that, though.
That's what I was
Let
saying.
The women speak. Because both of their faces is...
They cringing. They... Ooh, you know,
that's wrong.
But I say that.
But when I look back, when I look back on it, I fucked up.
Yeah, you better clear it up. On
I fucked up a lot of women's psyche. Well, in that segment of time, mm-hmm. I think I fucked up their psyche because I was a good to in my eyes. I was a good dude to them. I never disrespected them, treated them right, cared for them. But when it came down to me caring for them or caring about their feelings and commitment. I said, fuck you.
The C word.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't say fuck you, like, on purpose. I just said...
Your actions said
My actions spoke louder than words, and that was wrong with me. You know what I'm saying?
So, Joy, before we get to your running into mental health, the ladies are going to talk about this, because mm-hmm. they've been cringing. They've been like, ooh, pick me. So, how do y'all feel about our ex-womanizer and Sherrod?
lack of commitment.
How do I feel about the womanizer and Sherrod? I feel like it is ex-womanizer. I'll get that to him. Yes.
Still was. He said still was.
How many days have you been?
That's a future past tense. That's a future past tense.
That's why I had to walk into that. Like, wait, what?
Still, how many days have you been clean as a womanizer?
Since I've been single, shit.
And how long is that?
How long is that?
A year now.
365 days of non-womanizing and continuous stroking of the salami.
We just went from what the hell to salami. I'm like, oh god.
That shit is gonna kill you. It caused heart attack, bro.
Okay, so how do I feel about it? Mm-hmm. I currently am single.
Okay.
Just
in case y'all was wondering on Facebook Live.
Don't wonder. that's not no sort of invite.
I'm
not
I'm single, I'm not old.
Right.
The emoji. Right.
No, okay, so yeah, I'm single and that's definitely by choice. I think for me, I actually started going to my therapist, and it was in relation to, I guess, not necessarily daddy issues. Per se, because I'm such a daddy's girl. Like, I love the fuck out my father. It was issues that I was, I guess, daddy issues in the sense of, like, watching my parents' interactions. And I didn't realize I was being affected by that or how adversely it was affecting me. Just because you grow up in a two-parent household doesn't necessarily mean that it's, like, all peaches and cream.
Oh, she should have been on our last show then, Q. Didn't you say that?
I said we're going to have a woman segment.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not even trying to say it, but that was just like the basis for why I was interested in seeing a therapist. No, I wasn't having like some Alexis Sky hoe phase and I'm out here doing crazy. Like, I've always been very ambitious, very hardworking. If I make goals, I hit them, like, and then move on to the next one. I think the thing is, when it comes to commitment, I had a guy friend tell me this once and it scared the fuck out of me, but he was real. We were like maybe around like 20 in our early 20s and he was like, oh, Joe, you're not getting wiped anytime soon. And that's, I looked and I was like,
what's wrong with me?
And it wasn't the air because I'm like, why would you say that? Like, I'm not trying to scam niggas. I'm a good woman. Like, I'm God fearing. I set the nails out of board. Like, what is the, no, I mean, in a sense of like I've always thought that about myself. Like, that's how I was raised. My mom was like, I'm not raising no mistress. I'm raising a wife. I'm raising a capable wife on top of that. Like, that was one of my mom's, like, favorite sayings to tell me. Mm. So I carried myself as such.
Where your mama at for the rest of these children?
But I think the thing is, like, it got to a space of I was giving a lot, and that's just my natural personality, but I wasn't getting that in return. And it was something that was, it was, like, really kind of, like, just driving me crazy. But getting back to what my friend said, he was like, oh, you're not getting wifey. I'm like, why would you say that? he was like, because you know what you want. And he was like, niggas in their 20s, he's like, they ain't gonna be on nothing. And I don't know if I felt like maybe he spoke that over. I'm like, don't get that energy out there.
Right, right. That was just the reality of the situation.
But he was like, I'm gonna tell you right now. He was like, you the type of woman, like, if a guy meets you, the way you talk, the way you carry yourself, he knows he's gonna have to come on some legit shit. Correct. He was like, he might try and pacify you for a little bit because you are a good look. But he was like, if he's not legit on nothing, he's not even gonna deal with knowing all the steps that are involved to try and lock someone like
true.
You down.
That's true.
And he was like, and so he was like, yo, early 20s. He's like, I love you, sis, but he's like, I don't really see it for you. And it really was like that. Like, I dated, and I mean, there were certain guys that I was super into. There were certain niggas I was just like, girl, delete. But I think it's something that really did cause me to want to have, like, let me just sit down and have a conversation. Because through all that, in my given nature, I was, like, still getting the same results. And now, with me being in my late 20s and me really being sure, I'm not throwing pearls before swine. I'm not doing anything extra.
Ooh, took it to the Bible on y'all.
But that, and not even trying to be funny. I mean, I grew up a Jehovah's Witness. I'm not. But it's like, I've always been very God-fearing. But what I mean, what I mean by that is, what the hell? Pigs will literally eat anything. Won't even be like, God damn, this is my auntie Flo. Like, what am I doing? Right. You know? Like, and that's the thing. Like, once I really started to think about the depth of that, I'm like, I'm just chilling right now. I really don't. If a man has commitment issues, I'm not building a bear. I'm not building a man. Like, it's just not happening. And I'm not, and I'm willing to be alone. The problem is a lot of our generation cannot deal with silence. They stay in shit because it is comfortable. They stay in shit because the perception looks so cute with this Mayfair Valencia shit we just threw over our Instagram caption. I stay in it because this bitch is older than me and she supported me kind of, and I really like that shit. And I like feeling like I'm the man with this cougar. I'm staying with this girl because every nigga want her. But we really have nothing in common. I would rather be alone than deal with all that. If you have commitment issues, I'm not a therapist. I got my own shit I'm trying to work through, but I really have no judgment for anybody else. I just know the joy I was versus the joy I am now. If I was a problem then, I'm a fucking nightmare now because I really don't have the patience for it.
Angel.
Right. All right, all right, all right.
Church.
Come on, Angel. Talk
Church.
About
it. Angel, let's bring it. Let's go, Angel.
I
want to
commend you for not being a womanizer anymore and being plain. I'm happy that you felt the need to go get help because I feel like it's more of a selfishness. It's not necessarily like, you know,
a health issue.
Yeah, it's not a health issue. It's like you selfish, like you want everything. And right. That's the problem with a lot of dudes these days. And like, I completely agree with Joy. Like, I got engaged really young. I got engaged at 23, and that was probably the worst decision I could ever did in my life. And if I would have continued with that path, I would have been probably in the penitentiary by now.
Wow.
I would have killed him. But
snap.
That's neither here nor there.
Whoa.
I digress. But yeah, like I found like a line that like I've always known what I want. Like I've never been like I never had a whole phase. Like not anybody that has.
Everybody
but like
should.
I never Everybody had should. One. You know, just, like, I always knew what I want, and like especially like coming from a religious background, like Joy, like we're bred to be like you gonna be a good wife.
What's your religion again?
I was raised as
Jehovah's
Witness. Oh, Jehovah's Witness.
Like you're bred to be like you're gonna be a good wife, you're gonna be a good support system, you know, you're gonna have kids, you're gonna be a great mother and
but
all
I
wanna that.
Celebrate my birthday so, and y'all
won't. I know, right?
Did you?
I was like, we came in like, okay, we know what we want. We know where we're trying to go. I know I want to be in a relationship. I know this. Like, in your early 20s, dudes ain't trying to hit that. Like, they trying to run around, talk to whoever. And I get it.
Some dudes.
But I get it, like, you in your early 20s,
not
you're still trying to find yourself and whatnot. But it's like, the problem with me is when it comes to, like, now you in your 30s. You still trying to find yourself, like you still trying to sow oats and all that, like get your life together because
sow your royal oats.
Like,
my son like, works.
And I always feel like I was a very straightforward person. If you weren't feeling me, you could tell me. My my feelings gonna be hurt. Like, I would rather you be honest with me than, like, just make up stuff or just appease me. But, you know, everybody's just trying to...
We had some clutch stuff going on.
We're not trying to distract you. I'm sorry, man.
We into what you're doing.
Like, I don't know what I'm doing.
That's spicy. Like,
I know I ain't really feeling you, but I don't want nobody else to feel you, so I'm gonna just
keep
talk
you
to you, right? Keep you alone, and then talk to this
That's
person
goofy.
Too. But I'd rather just be like, just let me go. I can go talk to other people. It's fine. Like, you don't have to like me. I'm cool. So, okay. I definitely agree with Joy.
All right. Any final thoughts, y'all? I mean, we talked a lot of good stuff, and I think the mental health and the whole stigma.
That's a whole other show, to be honest.
The whole stigma with therapy and counseling in the Black community is definitely something that's not talked about a lot. And I don't even think the health thing is really talked about. So,
I got a last thought.
Okay.
I brought up the shaming point, but I didn't really get to really finish what I was getting to. When I brought up shaming, it's because us as Black men, especially, we have been kind of groomed in this environment of don't be soft, don't talk about your feelings because of the shaming. And that's a lot of the reasons why Black men in particular don't go to doctors, don't believe in mental health. And, you know, so that's the point that I was just trying to get to, of like the environment we're brought up in, it's not conducive for us to show our emotions. It's not conducive for us to go to the doctor. And all this discussion we just had about what the health is not conducive for us to trust the doctors when we go to them.
Yeah.
So we come up in the situation of we don't trust nobody. We're scared to open up to people. Only person we will open up to is our mama. And then we mama's boys, but we don't trust nobody else.
We have a segment on that.
We will.
Y'all have got to let go of the city. Like, y'all are grown shit, but carry on.
Nah, but I'm with you. We can talk about that too. So that's the point I was just trying to get to
about
shaming in the Black community in particular. Like, we shame to the point where we have set ourselves back mentally, health-wise, physically health-wise, being productive citizens. Because we scared to, you know, open up about our feelings about all of this different type of stuff. So mental health is definitely a big issue.
Got it. Anybody else?
That's it, bro.
That's it. Well, hey, I'm gonna leave y'all with some final things. I think in lieu of the movie, I'm actually gonna try doing a plant-based diet for 2 weeks. And
I'm on it myself.
And I think Jay's gonna do it with me as well. We're gonna log our progress and the recipes that
before.
We use.
Like I said, I did.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We were supposed
the
to mention
so
that.
So I'm going back to doing it because, like I said, seeing that documentary just made me realize, like,
I fell off.
Yeah, I fell off, and for a very long time, even Rick, or Nas, should I say, was on the same diet at one point. Right.
Pretty Ricky with the cold.
But and just seeing this documentary, man, it just make you realize that man, these people really don't care about our health. So you have to take the initiative to you can't go to the doctor and expect for your doctor to tell you, hey, you should eat a plant-based diet. Hey, you should stay away from milk. Hey, you should stop eating fucking hot flames. Hey, you should stop eating Oreos.
With pickle juice.
You know what I'm saying? You can't expect them to tell you that. Those are things that you should know on your own, and you need to have the willpower to want to do better. If you want to live longer, it's real simple. Stop eating the bullshit.
And I think you can appreciate, just like I did at the end of the documentary, and not to open up a whole nother discussion, but did you see how all the fit men were at the end, and they were still in really good shape, but all they ate was plants. All they ate was a plant.
Yeah, like football player dude.
Yeah, football player.
Can bench more because he changed his diet.
Me and Jay are definitely going to do it. We're going to log recipes, and we're going to log our progress.
Go to minimalistbaker.com.
Cool. Okay.
That's the one.
So if you guys want to follow our progress, please go to Mild Sauce Podcast. Like us on Facebook. I'm going to leave y'all with some stuff to do this upcoming weekend. So it's a Friday night booze cruise on the 18th. That's like $60 to $100. Actually, Jack Honey is coming back in town on August 19th. That's Saturday at Y Bar. And I've actually gone to a couple of Jack Daniels presentations, and they were really good. Taste of Black Chicago is the 19th of August, and it's free. So please make sure y'all check that out. It's the 10th annual Oak Park Microbrew Review that's going on. You got a car show on August 19th as well, and it's Sangria out in Humboldt Park. So it's a lot of things going on in the Chicagoland area.
For free.
For the low. So please check that out. We appreciate y'all coming with us again, and this Mild Sauce out.
Out.